Begin the current daven Masechet Siva, Masdav Tzadi He. Begin on the second line daven V'tam of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which was discussing where the Gemara left off, the halacha from our Mishnah, where the Mishnah then shifted from what it was talking about in the beginning of the parak, which is when a woman hears that her husband who went overseas had died. Now there was one witness that testified. She's allowed to go ahead and get remarried based on that testimony. However, if later it's revealed that the husband is still alive, then she has to be removed from her husband. She cannot maintain that original relationship. Whereas in contrast to that, our Mishnah said that if the husband hears about his wife who went overseas, that she died, he can go ahead and get remarried. Well, however, when she comes back and it's verified that she's still alive, he's not forbidden to her. So the Gemara asked, what's the reason for that discrepancy? So the Gemara answered, and that's where our Gemara had left off, by saying that there's a fundamental difference between those two cases. Because a woman that deliberately, let's say not in this case where they were both inadvertent, they didn't realize, they thought they were allowed to get married to someone else. By a woman that deliberately goes ahead and is mezana to someone else, that biblically she's prohibited to her husband. Whereas by a man, even if he deliberately goes ahead and is mezana with his sister-in-law, with achis ishtoi, biblically he's still permitted to his wife. And therefore, here when they both did a b'shagig, so by the woman, since b'mezid, she's biblically prohibited, so the rabbanon said that she's forbidden. Here, by the husband, where biblically he's permitted, so rabbinically, since it was done b'shagig, he's not going to be forbidden to his wife. Now, that's where Agamar continues and asks, u'menolam de lo yasira. From where do we know this, actually, that there is this discrepancy in halacha, that although a woman, when she's unfaithful to her husband, she becomes prohibited to her husband, but a man who's unfaithful to his wife does not become prohibited biblically to his wife. So he must say the time like Luna Brysa. The pasuk by Midbar that begins Veshachav Ish Oisa, that if a man lays with a woman, which the pasuk there is talking about a woman that's unfaithful to her husband, so then it says that she becomes prohibited to her husband. Now the inference is only in that type of a context where Oisa Shchivasa Isarta. It's only herself when she lays with another man, then she becomes forbidden to her husband. But when her sister lays with a man, meaning in this case with her husband, that does not make her forbidden. It has to be only the woman herself that will be doing something, making her forbidden to her husband. But if something else is happening, where although her husband is having a relation with her sister, which although the similar type of case with a woman who is with another man does become forbidden to her husband, regarding a woman being forbidden, it's only regarding something that she does, but not something that, let's say, her husband's doing or that her sister is with her husband. Now, the Braisa says, Shiyachl, because we would have thought, V'haloi dinu, that actually, to the contrary, that it's a kal v'chomer, that the woman should be forbidden to her husband when her husband has relations with her sister. And that's why we need to have Oisa to say that no, it's only when she herself was mezana, but not her sister. Because what would have been the kal v'chomer? As follows. Uma b'malkim shabal iser kal, because if in a context of where someone has cohabitation with a lenient type of a prohibition, which later on the Gemara will go through the different cheshbonos to try to analyze what is this reference to iser kal, but ultimately the maskanas Gemara will be regarding an ashes ish, a married woman. Now, why is that called the Isra Kal? That's a very stringent Isra, that of Karis. It's because the man who makes the woman, who's a married woman, forbidden, is not an eternal Isra. Because if he gives her a get, or if he dies, she's going to be permitted. So it's called the Isra Kal because he can permit her, although he's making her forbidden now with a get, and still Nesr Isra, where the husband becomes forbidden if someone cohabits with his wife, who this husband was the one that was making her forbidden to everybody in the world. So if so, Malkim Shabal Isra Chamer, where a man cohabits with a stringent prohibition, for example, our halacha of Achis Ishtoi, when it's his wife's sister, where his wife makes her sister forbidden to him as long as his wife is alive. Not like the case of Eshes Ish, where it's Kal in the sense in relation to Achis Isha, where even the one who's asering, the husband, it's not forever. He can make her permitted by giving her a get. But a sister, his wife's sister, as long as his wife is alive, she has no way of permitting her sister. So it's more stringent in that sense. In a din, shenesra oiser, isn't it a kal v'chomer that when there's cohabitation, that the one who's making it forbidden should himself become forbidden? Where in this context, it would mean herself, meaning the wife who's making her sister forbidden on her husband, she's the oiser. If we find that this prohibited cohabitation is Neser Eiser by an Iser Kal of Eishas Ish, all the more so that it should be Neser Eiser by a quote, an Iser Chomer of a Ches Ishtoi. And that's why the Braisa says we needed to have the term Eisa to say that no, although it's a Kal Chomer, but we say that it's only with her cohabitation that she becomes forbidden to her husband, but not anyone else's cohabitation. Now, however, the Braisa continues, on Rabbi Huda, he says, no. He says that there was never a machlokes between Beishame Sil regarding a man that cohabits with his mother-in-law. There, everybody agrees that he's going to make his wife forbidden on himself, which Gemara later on will learn from Pesukim, and that even Beis Hillel agrees over there. What was their machlokes regarding Beboal Lochisishte? Regarding what the Tanna Kamma was describing, Yehuda says that's actually a machlokes with Beishame Mishil regarding if someone has relations with his wife's sister. Shebeishame Emin Paisel. Beishame says he actually does invalidate his wife to him now, based on the Kavochema that we described, because Beishame does not expound Oysa to say that it's only when his wife is unfaithful and not that she could become forbidden in any other ways. But Beishame says that no, that she does not become possible to her husband because he does darshan oisa like the Tanna Kamma said. Amar Bisi argues in Rabbi Yehuda and he says no. Loi nechel ko Beishame Beishil babal chais ishtoi. No, they never argued regarding chais ishtoi as the Tanna Kamma had said, shlei paisla ishtoi. That he does not make his wife possible to him because they do expound oisa to say that it's only her cohabitation that can make her forbidden to her husband. Amar nechel ko, but what did they argue about babal chamoisa regarding your first case? That you said everyone agrees it's not true. That's what they argue about when a man cohabits with his mother-in-law. Beishame say that he does become possible to his wife. That's because the pasuk explicitly says, as Gemara later on will explain, says that a man that cohabits with his mother-in-law, him and them become possible, which obviously is a reference to his wife and his mother-in-law. Beishil holds that, no, that she does not become possible in any circumstance, whether it's her sister or whether it's her mother, his wife is still permitted to. Now, Rabbi Yisi explains the reason why it is that he holds that Beishame Beisil did not argue regarding Chais Ishtoi. The reason is as follows. Lefi Shebetchila, because in the beginning, before this man got engaged to his wife, he's permitted in any woman in the world, meaning those that are legitimate, permitted for a man to marry. And she's permitted for all legitimate men in the world. Now, Kacha, when he gets engaged, so who Oisra, he makes her forbidden to marry any man, and she makes him forbidden to marry her relatives. Now, Meruba Isser Sha'asra, there's more things that he's prohibiting on her, than what she's prohibiting to him, because he's only prohibited to her relatives. We can marry many other women. She can't marry any man now. As the Gemara explains, he makes her forbidden on every man in the world, but she makes him forbidden only on her relatives. Now, and therefore there's a Kal Vachomer, he says. Umahu, now if, regarding the man, where he makes her forbidden in all women and all men in the world, yet, in spite of that shagaga, if she, by mistake, inadvertently had a relation with someone else, ba'asula, with someone that's forbidden to her, which is any man, yet still ainin says b'mutala, she's still not forbidden to the man that she was permitted up until now, meaning her husband, as the Gemara expounded enough in Dvarim Beis, that it's only if he loy netfasa, then she's prohibited to her husband. But if she was netfasa, if let's say it was something which beyond her control, then she's still permitted to her husband. Therefore, regarding her, Shlei Sartu Elabe Krebisel, who she only made her forbidden, him forbidden, her husband, only in her relatives, and therefore, Shagag Beirsolai, so if he inadvertently had relations with who's forbidden to him, meaning her sister, Einer Din Shlei Nesulai B'Mutulai, so isn't there Kavo Chaymer, who he's a lesser type of an Isser, that for sure he should be permitted, he shouldn't be forbidden to what he was permitted to up until now, meaning to his wife. So therefore you see that for sure, when he cohabits with his sister-in-law, he's going to be permitted to his wife. Now, Yossi points out, obviously this Kal Vachomer that I just said is only in regards to when he does it inadvertently, that he does not become possible to his wife. How would I know that's even in a case when it's done deliberately? As the Tanna Kamma had expounded, as the Pasuk teaches, Oisa, when she, the wife, goes and is unfaithful, then Oisa Shchivasa Isarta, then her cohabitation makes her forbidden to her husband. But when it's her sister that's doing something with her husband, that cannot make her forbidden to her husband. Again, as the Tanakhama had made this exposition, that's the conclusion of this brisa. But that answers the original question we opened up with, that where do we find that a woman is not forbidden when the husband has relations with his with her sister, and then they come, she comes back, we're not going to make the penalty, because even biblically, it's permitted, as we say, Isa, and therefore, here where it's not Isa, it was her sister, it's not going to make her forbidden to her husband. Now, Amr Shlakish, he says, my time in Rabbi Huda, in this Brisa, we brought in Rabbi Huda's opinion, that he says, if someone cohabits with his mother-in-law, not only is that forbidden, but he's going to be prohibited to his wife now. So where does he know this from? Especially since we made the drasha of Isa, which says that it's only the woman herself that makes her forbidden to her husband, but no one else. So how could her mother make her forbidden to her husband? So he said, the chesiv, like it says in the pasuk in Vayikra. The pasuk there begins in Vayikra Chav Yudalad, says, V'isha sheyikach es isha besim, a man that takes a woman and her mother, so zimahi. And the pasuk says, Be'ish yisroifu, so in fire they, that's their Mises Bezdin, they get burnt by the fire. Oisoi ve'eshen, him, the man, and them, meaning the woman and her mother. Now, the problem with that is, v'chikola bayis kul b'sreifa, which literally means that, are we going to burn down the whole house? But what that means is that, what did the wife do wrong? Yes, the mother, she did that wrong, because he was already married to her daughter. But why should the daughter get burnt if that marriage was permitted originally? So that is what Rabbi Huda holds. If it doesn't have what to do with the Mrs. Bezin of Sreifa, what does the Pasuk mean when it says, and them? Meaning that both of them are forbidden, not just the mother, but even the daughter. And that's where we see this halacha, that Rabbi Huda is saying that if someone's Baal Chamaisa, he's going to be forbidden to his wife. Now that the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda Mishmul, in halacha does not fall like Rabbi Huda, and that a woman never becomes forbidden to her husband, not only in the case of a sister, but even in the case of a mother, in that that's the only thing that makes her forbidden to her husband is when she herself is mezana. And actually the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha that he said, that Ahuda Avr Isur Bechamas, there was a man that did something wrong with his mother-in-law. So Asr Rabbi Huda Nagdis, Rabbi Huda came in and gave him lashes. And Amalei, he told him, Ilav de Amr Shmuel, in halacha Rabbi Huda, which is the halacha that we just quoted in the Gemara, that Rabbi Huda said the name of Shmuel, that halacha does not fall Rabbi Huda. So then, Asrita Allah, I would have made forbidden to you your wife, Isur Dalam, an eternal Isur. And that is like Rabbi Huda says, that a man becomes forbidden to his wife when he cohabits with his mother-in-law. And therefore, he says, you're lucky. I'm just giving you lashes, but if I wouldn't have heard this Allah from Shmuel, I would have made you forbidden to your wife. Now the Gemara goes back to that Kavol Chaimer that the Gemara had said, that we would have said to say that a wife actually would be prohibited to her husband based on her husband's relations with her sister. And if we didn't, but therefore we say Oisa, which tells you that no, it's not going to be prohibited. Now, why would we have said that? So the Kavol Chaimer was because if by an Isser Kal, by a lower type of an Isser, a more lenient type of Isser, where that we say that the thing that makes this woman forbidden to others or this man to others is when someone else cohabits with that entity. The thing that makes it forbidden, themselves become forbidden. So here, Bachaisisha, which is Isser Chamer, most definitely, this woman who is making the man prohibited to her sister is for sure herself going to become forbidden now that he cohabited with her. So the Gemara asks, my Isser Kal, what was this Kavol Chaimer based on? What was this Isser Kal where the Isser becomes Neser? Oh, Kavol Chaimer to the Achayis Isha, which is more chamer, that the Iser, meaning the wife, is going to become Neser. And that's why we need Oisa to say that not. So Amar Rav Chizr says, he proposes, it's talking about someone that takes back the woman he divorced, that in the interim had already married another man, which is a negative prohibition in the Torah of Machzik Rishase. So the Gemara explains, what would the case be talking about? Baal La'ahai, that is the second man, I mean, he divorced his wife. The second man went and married her. So, Asra la'adahai. So then, by getting married to another man, I mean, you could remarry the woman you divorced if no one else had married her yet. But the second someone else marries her, so that's Asra la'adahai, then she becomes now forbidden to the first husband. Now, Baal la'idoch. Now, if the second husband went and divorced her, and the first husband then goes out and takes her back, so that is what's called an Isser Kal. It's just a negative prohibition. And Va'asra Allah Dahai, Now, by the first husband taking her back, she becomes forbidden now on the second husband, because now, because of the first husband, it's now relative to the second husband, for him as a grusha shenissas, which makes forbidden to him as machzor grushasay. Now, that's a case of neser ha'oser, meaning because this second husband becomes forbidden now, who he was the one that originally made this woman forbidden to the first husband, because by marrying her, he was the oyser to the first husband, because now she's machzor grushasay because she married someone else. Now, by the first husband then taking her back in an iser, that goes ahead and makes it forbidden, it's asering on the neser, on the one that had made her forbidden to him, to the first husband. And therefore, if that's the iser ka, which is the only negative prohibition, ka b'chem etachais ishtai, which is iser karas, for sure you should say neser oyser. But the Gemara asks on that ka b'chem. If that's what the ka b'chem would mean, so where would you see fit to say ka b'chem? It's not a clear-cut kal and chomer. Because ma'ala machzor grushasay mishenissas, how can you say that it's considered just a kal in contrast to achais ishtai, regarding when the man takes back the woman that he divorced that already had married someone else in the meantime? It has its own stringencies. And maybe therefore only there did we say this halachic stringency, that neser oyser, because shekinit ma'aguf, first of all, in that case of machzor grushasay, the woman herself, who she's becoming prohibited in this context, her own body became defiled, meaning the iser is happening with her. Second of all, v'isur b'raif, that is, there's many ways of the iser happening, as Tais explains, that it could happen by any single person that you could come to this iser, where, meaning a woman that's divorced from her husband, no matter who she marries, will go ahead and now make it usur to the original husband. But by achis isha, that even if you'll say that the wife becomes forbidden after that he lays with the sister, but it's not by any man that lays with the sister that then she becomes forbidden to her husband. It's only with the husband. So it's a laxity in the sense of that it's only a certain marginal type of a case that it can make her usser, in contrast again to machzor grushasay, where it's with any man that could make her forbidden to her original husband. And third of all, what you find the stringency by machzor grushasay is v'isur isur oilam, that the second she goes ahead and marries someone else, she becomes forbidden to her husband forever. Whereas how can you say that this halacha would apply of neser oyser to achis ishtai, where that you want to say that the woman, the wife, becomes forbidden now to her husband, where there you don't have nit magufay of ishtai. The whole issue that's happening is not with her, nothing with her. It was just regarding something that happened with her sister. And moreover, is that an issue of a chais isha is not an eternal issue. Because when his wife dies, he's actually permitted her sister. And therefore the Gemara says, it wouldn't be a kal v'chaymer, because actually it would be a chaymer and chaymer. In other words, you can't say a kal v'chaymer, because machzor grushasay has its own stringencies. Although it's more kal, just as it has a negative prohibition. So Elamer Shlokesh, Rajah Shlokesh attempts a different interpretation of the Braisa, what's the Isser Kal? It's a reference to Yavama, a woman that her husband died without any children, who's waiting for Yibam by her Yavam. Now the Gemara asks, Yavama Laman. In other words, what would the case be talking about? Who is it that the Yavama had cohabitation with that's forbidden to her? That then you say, she's Neser Al Ha'Iser. So the Gemara says, Ile Mala Achar, if it's talking about that she had cohabitation with what's called Lashuk, with some other man that's not her Yavam, which that's, yes, an Isser Kal, because that's just a negative prohibition of Yavam Lashuk. And then that is what the Braisa was saying, Neser or Iser, meaning she now becomes Usr to the Yavama who was making, to her Yavam, who is making her Usr to everyone else. I mean, as long as there's a Zika, a bond to the Yavam, she's forbidden to marry anyone else. I mean, Lashuk. And what would the interpretation mean? Could Rav Amnuna, Dam Rav Amnuna, that he says, Shemeris Yavam Shazinsa, a woman that's anticipating, waiting for Yibum from a Yavam, that's Mezana, meaning this case of Yavam Lashuk, she's a Surah Liyavama, she becomes forbidden to her Yavam, so that would fit to say that's the Isser Kal, because the Neser, the Yavam, becomes Usser now, the Usser becomes Neser because she had an Isser Kal with a person from the Shuk. But the problem with that again would be that, again, it wouldn't be a kal to chomer, because mali yavama, by the case of the yavam, you have stringencies. Shekein nitma haguf, again, it happened with herself. Again, the contradistinction to the case we're discussing of achis isha, where what's happening is not with the woman herself. And v'isur b'raiv, the isur can happen with many people, meaning with many people, whoever it is that she's having cohabitations, if she didn't have chalitza yet, that's the problem of the isra of Yivam Lashuk. Whereas how could you compare that to Achis Isha, where the only one that she's forbidden to is this one, meaning the husband of her sister? How can you compare that to here, where it's forbidden to everyone? So Elder Gemara says, the case of Yavama would be talking about Yavama la'achim, meaning that if one of the brothers went and cohabited with the Yavama in a case of Isser, then the one who made him originally Asr to her would then himself become forbidden. Now what would that type of case be talking about? We're talking about the following case. Ava b'maimer hai. If one of the brothers, one of the Yavams, went and made a maimer with the Yavama, so Asr la dahai. Now, at least rabbinically, she becomes forbidden to the other brothers because Maimer is a rabbinic halacha in regarding the halachas of Yibum. It's not a full-fledged kedushin to make her like an Ashes Ish. Now, because of that, it's only rabbinic when it's Bala Idoch. Now, when the other brother goes and cohabits with her, then that's what's called Ba al Isr Kal. That's a cohabitation with only a very light Isr in a sense because it's only rabbinic because her connection with the other brother was only through Maimer, which is only rabbinic halacha. So then, Asra Allah Dehai. Now, he makes her forbidden, that's what's called Nesher Eiser, on the first brother, because now he already had cohabitation with her. So he can't go ahead and move on with the Maimer, because she already had Yibum, already had Bia with the other brother. Now, therefore, that's what the Gemara is entertaining now from Rish Lakish, that's what the Kavochem Le'Issachomer of Achis Isha, where that's not just a biblical prohibition, but it's even that of Karas, there for sure you'll say Nesara Iser, because if you say that by just an Isser Drabon and an Isser Kal of Maimer, that now the original Yavam becomes Aser, all the more so by Achis Isha. But again, the Gemara asks, if that would be the case, so my ear Yeshabo Ale Sheni, then why would the Bryce have to say in the terminology of that this second one went and cohabited with this woman, that we said that if b'makom, the words that the Braisa used was, if b'makom shabal iser kal, and still neser iser, oh, for sure, achis ishto, when you bal iser chomer, for sure it's going to be neser iser, but afilo avid b'nami maimer, even if only maimer was done by the second brother, still the first brother who had done the maimer would be forbidden, which the Gemara is assuming as the opinion of the Rabbanan, who they held, yesh maimer acha maimer, that since you did a maimer, but the other brother's maimer could also work, so then you can't go ahead and consummate the relationship anymore because another brother did maimer too. So if the case we'd be told about was Yavama, la'achin, that one brother did a maimer and the other brother went and cohabited with, and to say that's only Isser Kal and Neser or Iser, why do you have to say that he did Bia? Just say he even just did maimer, and that itself would go ahead and mess up and be Neser or Iser. Nothing more says, no, holy kasha, that's not a question. Because Krimi Gamliel, the Bryce is going like Krimi Gamliel's his opinion, Dama, that he says, a maimer acha maimer, that maimer cannot take effect after a maimer was already done. And therefore the second brother cannot mess up, so to speak, his first brother by just doing maimer. And that's why I have to say, bia. And so you still see the kavo chaimer that you need aysa for, because if he's ba on this iser kal of his brother having done maimer, and he makes her forbidden now to the first brother, kavo chaimer tachis isha. But still the Gemara asks, Ella, so you're right. So that it's not a good question what we asked regarding maimer. But a question that we definitely could ask is afilom, even if the first brother did maimer, now the other brother comes and is nasan lo ged, gives her a ged, or afilom chalatz lo, or even if he does chalitza, he still will invalidate this woman to the first husband, to the first brother that did maimer. And if the Gemara's question is still appropriate in saying that why would you have to say bala sakal if you don't even need cohabitation? You could even do something that's not even an Isser, that of Chalitza, that of Get, and that according to everybody could be Chal Achar Maimer, and therefore that itself would ask, and therefore that doesn't sound like the interpretation of the Braisa of Baal Isser Kal, if you don't even need to have a Bia to make this case of Neser Isser, if you're saying it's talking about a Yevam Al-Achen. So Elam HaBriechen, rather Briechen says a different interpretation. He says what we're talking about here is a Saita, which is the case of a woman that's suspected of being an adulteress, that she was warned and she was secluded with another man, where that's what we're talking about at Isser Kal. So the Gemara asks, Saita Laman, what are we talking about when we say this woman who, oh, wait a second, maybe she was mezana with another man, so you have to go through the whole process of the Mei Saita and analyze it and figure out if she really was mezana. who is it that she was, that you cohabited with, that you're calling it an Isser Kal? You're saying that someone that goes out and has bia with the Saita, which is just the Isser Kal, then it's Neser Isser. What would that case be talking about? Ilem Labal, if you say it's talking about the husband, meaning that Baal Labal, that after that the husband had done kinuta with it, which he warned her, don't seclude with that man, and she did stira, meaning she secluded with him, where then she becomes forbidden to him, as the Pasuk says, Vinistra Behi Nitma, as the Pasuk says Bamid Baparakeh, that if she's secluded, she becomes Tamei, which we say that means that she's forbidden to her husband from now on. Now, and therefore, what would that mean in regards to, so that's the Isser Kal, where he's having bia with his wife, who is forbidden to him, because she already had kinyan stira. Now, that the Brice would be saying, Nesra Isser, meaning that Asra Leha Deboyel, then now she becomes forbidden to the Boyel, the man that she was suspected to have cohabited with, meaning he was the one that made her forbidden on her husband. He's the Isser. Now, you're saying that once the husband goes and after this situation is born his Isha, that the Iser, the Boyle, is now forbidden to him. She's not forbidden to him, meaning, what would that mean? Obviously, she's still married to her first husband, but it means even if after the husband dies, or even after the husband divorces her, that now that since he was Baal Leha, so he can't give her to drink anymore, as Halacha mentioned elsewhere, that if he's Baal out, it's not going to do the process of figuring out if she was Mizan or not, and therefore now she becomes eternally forbidden to the Boyle. If that's what the Brice was talking about, where a husband is bought on his wife who is a Saita, where now it's Nesra Isa, that the one who made the woman originally forbidden to her husband is now becoming forbidden himself when the husband goes ahead and cohabits with his wife, because now she can't drink and therefore she's eternally forbidden to the Baal. But if that would be the case, so my Iri Baal Leo, why would you even need the husband to cohabit with his wife? You can find that same halacha even if he's not Baal Leo. From the moment that the Baal was secluded, the suspected adulterer with his wife, she at that moment became forbidden to her husband and for that suspected man forever until she drinks. As the Mishnah teaches in Masech Desaita, Daf Chav Zayin Mabez, says in the Pasuk two times Nitma, once for the Baal and once for the Baal, and therefore, why Ma'ir Yabalau, why do you need to have a Baalau? We could find another way that he can preempt her ever drinking, which would make her eternally forbidden on the Iser, on the Baal. Because Afila Nasan Laget, even if the husband gives her a get, Afila Omar Einani Mashki, he says, I'm not going to give her to drink, he has that prerogative, so then eternally, since she's never going to have the process of drinking, it's forbidden to the Baal. So why would you need Neser Iser through having someone Baal Iser Kal? You don't need that, similar to the question we asked regarding Givam Aachen. So it doesn't sound like that's the interpretation. So El Rav, the Gemara says, that it's talking about a Saita that had cohabitation, leboil, with this suspected man, where in other words, a regular case is nus, what we're talking about, that she becomes forbidden to her husband, who was the one that originally had made her forbidden to others. So therefore, that would be, we have someone that's having bia with a woman, which is a regular married woman, that nes her oiser, the man who had originally made her forbidden to this other man, he himself becomes forbidden now, as we said, it says two times in the pasuk, in a minute, a woman that's mizan becomes forbidden to her husband. But in that interpretation, that Gemara asks, "Hi, this case is ba on the Isser Kalhu? What do you mean Isser Kamahu? This is a stringent prohibition. Tahainu Esher says this is a married woman. If you're saying that it's talking about a case of another man being ba leha, that Neser Iser, that the husband who had made her forbidden to him is becoming forbidden now, but that's not an Isser Kal." To say, oh, kavachemeta chesisha, which is Isser Chamer, that's an Isser Chamer of Esher Shesh, where he had relation with a married woman. So yes, then Neser Oisa, but how could you say, kavachemeta chesisha? So I think Mark continues on Talmud Beis and says, no, Elam Rabbah, he says, it actually is told by the Esher Ish, where a man cohabits with a married woman, that Neser Oisa, the husband, becomes forbidden, and v'chein kiyas Ravana Rabbi Yechanan is Esher Ish. But then the obvious question is, umay karlo Isser Kal, why is that called a light Isser regarding an Isser Eishes Ach? The reason why it's called Isser Kal is in contrast to Achis Isha, in a certain definition that She'ein Ha'Isser Isser Kal Yamav. It's because the man, it's married to this woman, who's obviously we're calling a married woman, that although he's answering her to other men, it's not an eternal Isser. as long as he's living, she doesn't have to be asr. She could be permitted to others if he goes and gives her a get. But his wife, who makes her sister forbidden to him, that's an eternal isr. The isr achis isha is a isr chamer in the sense of that it is isr kol yomeha of his wife, and therefore if by ashes ish you find that it's nesar isr, so by achis isha we would say nesar isr, and that's why we needed isa to teach that no, that it's only a woman herself that makes her forbidden to her husband, but not her husband having relations with her sister. So the Gemara says, Tanam Hoch is similar in the Braisa, that the way we interpreted the Braisa, we learned this way in the Braisa, that Abba Chanan Amr Shemir Belazer says, Eishes ish, regarding a married woman, that Umma B'mokam Abba'al Isakal, if someone cohabits with her, which again we're defining as Isakal, why? Sheina Isra Isakal Yamav, because the one who's making her forbidden to others, meaning her husband, does not make her forbidden forever. He could make her permitted with a get, and yet still Nesar Isra, when she's Mizana with another man, she becomes forbidden forever to the one who made her forbidden. Sabal Isra Chama, so someone that has cohabitation with a stringent prohibition, meaning Achis Ishtai, why is that considered Chamasha Isra Isakal Yamav? Because his wife, who makes the sister forbidden, is forbidden as long as she's alive. In addition, Nesar Isra, isn't it a Kavachemah that for sure his wife, who's making the sister forbidden, when he does cohabit with her, that the Isra becomes forbidden? Tamalema Isa, as the passage teaches Isa, Isa Shkivasa Isart, it's only the woman herself when she's Mizana, that makes her forbidden to her husband. And the laying of her sister does not make her forbidden to her husband, again, as we had interpreted that Braisa. So the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah that the Tanakhama had said the case of when a woman goes overseas and the husband hears that she died and he goes and marries her sister. When it turns out that the sister, her wife is really still alive, he's allowed to maintain the marriage with his wife. Now that Rabbi Yisi responds to the Tanakhama and he says this enigmatic statement of Kol Shapais L'Vachulu that wherever he invalidates others, this man, then he invalidates himself. When he doesn't invalidate others, he himself does not become invalidated. So the Gemara asks, my Kama Rabbi, what exactly is Rabbi Yisi saying? So the Gemara says as follows. If you say that the Tanakhama is saying as follows, and that's what Rabbi Yisi is coming to argue on him. Tanakhama is saying is that it's not just talking about that his wife went overseas. Rather, and this is how we had explained this on the previous daf, that this included in the Tanakhama statement, that the Azal Ishtai V'Gisla Medina Siyam, not only did his wife go overseas, but his brother-in-law, who is married to his wife's sister, also went overseas. Now, the halacha of the Tanakhama says is, Eishes Gisa Yasira, so his brother-in-law's wife, meaning his wife's sister, his sister-in-law, is forbidden. As we said, that's always halacha, as we said in the beginning of the parak, where a woman that gets married based on one witness and comes out that her husband's really still alive, she's forbidden. But, although he had married her, her spouse is forbidden to her, but Vishti Sharia, his wife, his spouse, is permitted to him. Now, on that, Vekom Rabbi Yisi, and what's Rabbi Yisi saying? Now, the way the Gemara is defining it in the Havamin is saying, regarding the second part of his statement, that's what he's coming to address regarding what the Tanakhama had said. And he's saying, Ki Heche de Ishti Sharia, just like his wife is permitted, as the Tanakhama is saying, so now Rabbi Yisi is saying that Ishis Gisa Namishar. So because of that, his brother-in-law's wife is also permitted. If that's what you're proposing, that's what Rabbi Yisi is coming to argue on the Tanakhama and saying that no, if his wife is permitted, then his brother-in-law's wife is also permitted, who that was who he was married to. Well, if that's the case, the Gemara asks, Ihachi, then instead of Rabbi Yisi saying, as his phrase is mentioned in the Mishnah, Kol Shein Poisal De'Cherim, wherever this man does not invalidate others, meaning his brother-in-law, Ein Poisal De'Atzmoi, he doesn't invalidate himself. If the interpretation is as we're saying, it should have been the other way around. Kol Shein Poisal De'Atzmoi, wherever he does not invalidate himself, because that's the point that Rabbi Yisi is agreeing to the Tanakhama, that he's permitted to his wife, then he should add his other point the other way around, what he argues in Tanakhama, that Ein Poisal De'Cherim Ibayle. Then it should have said, he's not going to invalidate others, meaning his brother-in-law, because that's the primary chiddush, because that stands in contrast to a regular woman, that when her husband goes overseas and she hears that he died, and then she remarries based on that. Generally, as we had said in the Mishnah beginning of the parak, she's going to be forbidden. Here, Rabbi Yisi wants to say that no, since, as we'll explain the details of why that would be, but Rabbi Yisi wants to know that since he's permitted to his wife, and therefore the sister-in-law will be permitted to her husband, well, then why say the way he says it, that first based on the others, therefore him, it should say because of him, therefore the other. So Rav the Gemara says, Ve'ela, it's going on, what Rabbi Yossi is addressing in the Tanakhama is not the second part of his phrase, but rather the first part of his phrase, as follows. And that is Rabbi Yossi is telling Tanakhama, Kihecha de Eishes Gisei Asira, just like you're saying that the wife of the brother-in-law, meaning his sister-in-law, is going to be forbidden to his brother-in-law, which that's what he starts off in this first sentence, that where he's poisel al decherim, where he invalidates others, and that you're agreeing. So therefore, Biasi says, and this is where he argues on Tanakama, so ishtei nami asira, so therefore, this man's wife will also be forbidden, that's what he says, will be also be poisel al deatzmai. Now, as Rashi explains the reason for that, what Biasi's opinion is that since, obviously, the marriage that the husband had with his sister-in-law, when both of their spouses went overseas, that it helped to make her forbidden to her husband. So therefore, it helps also to consider it like his wife. Obviously, it was something like his wife. That's why she's forbidden to her husband. So it's additionally like his wife to say that his new wife's sister, meaning his original wife, is going to be forbidden because of a rabbinic achis isha. That's what the Gemara is proposing as Rabbi Yossi's halacha that he's arguing in the Tanakhama. That not like you, that you say that this sister-in-law, this woman is always forbidden when her husband, his brother-in-law comes back, and this man is always permitted when his wife comes back. He says no, because if we're making her forbidden when her husband comes back, obviously because she had been married to someone else in the interim, so if he was married, although, again, biblically it's not a marriage because she was married, we just didn't know, but rabbinically we consider it, so rabbinically his original wife is like a chais isha of his new wife, meaning of his sister-in-law, and therefore Abisi says his wife will also be forbidden, not like Tanakhama. And that the Gemara asks, if that's what the interpretation of Rabbi Yossi is saying, well, ha-tenach, so that makes sense for, yes, the first half of his phrase, which we're interpreting, of kol she-paisel, where we said, wherever he invalidates others, so then he himself becomes invalidated, as we just explained. But the second half of his phrase, kol she-eino paisel ma-yavidate, what's the necessity of having the second half of his phrase, where is that whenever he doesn't invalidate others, where do you ever have such a case? Because according to Tanakhama, there is no such a case because Achis Ishtai is always going to be forbidden to her husband. So what's he coming to say that, oh, I argue on you regarding Kol Shepoyis L'Acherim, that there you say that, yes, only the Acherim apostle, but not himself. I said that, no, he's apostle also. And additionally, I argue on you regarding when you say that Kol She'ein apostle, that then I'm going to say that he's not going to validate himself. But what's he addressing regarding Tanakhama? Tanakhama didn't ever say that there's going to be in the place L'Acherim. When he cohabits with his brother-in-law's wife, his sister-in-law, she'll always be forbidden. So what's he addressing when he says, but when he's not invalidating them, then he himself will not be invalidated. So if the Gemara says, Amar Bami, he says, this that Rabbi Yossi said, kol she'ein apostel, that's going back a reisha, on the first, meaning a lot of times the Gemara calls the reisha, the first half of the Mishnah, meaning an earlier Mishnah, which is a continuation, all these Mishnahs of the same theme, which is in the beginning of the Perek. Where there it's talking about that he's not going to be invalidating others, because there the Mishnah says, Nisus al pi bezdin. If a woman gets married, meaning when her husband goes overseas and she hears that he dies, she gets married based on bezdin, which that essentially means through one witness, where then you need the permission of bezdin, because generally one witness is not enough. Then the halacha of the Mishnah said, if the husband comes back and he is actually alive, Tetzei, she has to leave both men, or betur min ha-karbin, but she's exempt from a carbon because she was relying on Bezdin's psak. Api Edim, if she gets remarried based on two witnesses, then the Mishnah there said, Teitze, she has to leave the second husband, but she's permitted to her husband. V'chayev is b'carbon, and there she has to bring a carbon because she was relying on herself because of the two witnesses. And that the Mishnah conclude over there, Yafa Koichishel Bezdin, that's where it comes out that the strength, when you're coming from the power of Bezdin, it's greater than when you do it based on two witnesses, because there's Shepatrim and Akarban, there the woman will be exempt from a carbon. Now, that's what it says there in the Mishnah, the beginning of the Perek. Now, on that is where, so to speak, the Seifa, meaning our Mishnah, comes and says, in the case of where the husband's wife went overseas, and then the wife comes back. So our Mishnah says, Muteres Lach, that he's allowed to go ahead and go back to his wife. On that, Tanakhama, that's what Tanakhama says in our Mishnah. He says, Loishna al pi edim. In the halacha of our Mishnah, again, which is a continuation of the mission at the beginning of the parak when the husband goes overseas. Our mission is talking about when the wife goes overseas. So on that Tanakhama says it doesn't make a difference if it was through witnesses, meaning that they told him your wife had died. Now, as we explained before, the case has, besides his wife going overseas, his sister-in-law's husband, his brother-in-law also went overseas, and they told her that your husband died. Now, whether that was through two witnesses, the Aisha's Gisa Yisharia, with there, his brother-in-law's wife, meaning his sister-in-law, who he had married in the interim, is permitted to go back to her husband. We explained in that Mishnah, because when there was two witnesses, she could go back to her husband. The Tanakhama says it doesn't make a difference if it was through Bezin, meaning through one witness. The Aisha's Gisa Asira, where there, in that case, when if his that woman who married him was only through one witness, that then she's forbidden to her husband, to his brother-in-law. Even so, Tanakhama says, this man's wife will always be permitted to him. Whether the sister-in-law is going to be permitted to her husband when the two witnesses, or with one witness, that then she'll be prohibited to her husband, again, which is a continuation of the Mishnah in the beginning of the parak. Either way, Zakta Tanakhama in our Mishnah, that his wife is going to be permitted to him. And that is Vakamali Rabbi Yisi. This is what Rabbi Yisi tells Tanakhama in the case of when it's Api Bezdin, when it's through one witness, that's why I argue on you. And that is Api Bezdin, when it's through one witness, the Paisa Adi Acherim, where then he invalidates others, as we said, because when she's getting married now based on the testimony of one witness, meaning to him, when her husband comes back, she's prohibited to him. So then Rabbi Yisi says, in that case, then he's going to be invalidating himself, that as we explained before, that he's going to be forbidden to his wife. Now, however, regarding the second half of his phraseology, which again is a continuation of what we're saying from the Reisha, meaning the Mishnah beginning of the Perek, but if it's Alpi Edim, but if both of them got married to each other, based on the testimony of two witnesses that said, oh, look, your wife died, and you know what, your husband died, then, since the in the place al Deicherem, since they're he's not going to be invalidating others, meaning she's not going to be ushered to her husband when he comes back, because she's getting married based on two witnesses' testimony. So then, in the place of the Atzmai, then he's not going to invalidate himself, meaning his wife is going to be permitted to him too. Because it's only when she's becoming ushered that then he's going to be ushered to his wife. But when she's going to be mutter, where is that? Tanakhama didn't speak about that. He did, because Tanakhama was going back on the Reisha, which was talking about both cases of Eid Echad and Shnei Edim, where Tanakhama says it doesn't make a difference. Either way, he's going to be permitted to his wife. That Rabbi Yisi is arguing and saying that no, when it's one aid, then she's prohibited, he's also going to be prohibited to his wife. But regarding two witnesses, that's why I agree to you. That's one interpretation in Rabbi Yisi. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar, he says, he gives a different interpretation than Rabbi Ami in Rabbi Yisi. And he says, L'oilam aseifa. Truth is that the Mishnah was going in a procession. First, it spoke about two witnesses. Then the Mishnah concluded over there in the beginning of the parak, talking about one witness. And that's where our Sefer, meaning our Mishnah, is continuing from that theme when she gets remarried based on one witness. So then the question comes back, so then what's the relevance of Paisel and Eina Paisel? So he explains, because there's two different cases that the Tanakhama is discussing, which on that is Rabbi Yisi has these two phrases in his response. There's one case Tanakhama is discussing when a man's fiance, the woman that he's engaged to, goes overseas with his brother-in-law. There's another case of the woman that he's married to and his brother-in-law go overseas. Now, but come to the Tanakhama said, Loishna ishta v'gisa doesn't make a difference if he was married to this woman and his brother-in-law. Loishna arusasa v'gisa doesn't make a difference if he was just engaged to her and the brother-in-law. That when they both come back, and although in the interim they had married each other, Eishes gisa asira, his brother-in-law's wife, meaning the sister-in-law that he had married, is going to be forbidden. But v'ishta sharia, his wife is going to be permitted, as we said, because he doesn't differentiate. A man, says Oisa, does not become forbidden to his wife when he's mezana with someone else. But she is forbidden to the husband when she is mezana with someone else. And therefore, rabbinically, we make her usher in such a case. Now, that becomes a reason. That's a reason he responds, and he says, no, ishte v'gisai, when it's his wife, it was his married wife and his brother-in-law that went overseas and they thought that they had died. You cannot say that there were some type of conditions that were in place regarding the marriage. In other words, to say that the first woman that he was married to that went overseas with his brother-in-law, everybody knows that you're not making conditions on all your BS that you're having for 10 years being married and saying, look, if we don't fulfill that condition, we were never married. No one does that. Therefore, everybody knows that must be the second marriage that he had with his wife's sister. When his wife comes back, everybody realizes that it must have been a mistake, because you can never get married to a wife's sister as long as the wife is alive. And they won't come to say that, oh, what do I mean? Maybe the husband had divorced her, and then this one married, because even if the husband had divorced, he's still going to be forbidden, because that's achis ishta b'chayah. His wife is obviously still alive. So even if people are going to say that the brother-in-law maybe divorced her and he had married an interim, or that he had divorced his wife, either way, it doesn't make a difference. He cannot marry that man's wife as long as we see the wife is still alive because she came back, because achis ishta, as long, even if he divorced her, achis ishta is always us as long as the wife is alive. So everybody knows that must have been that the testimonial had misled them, and that's why that was done. Where therefore that's the case, as Rabbi Yossi says in his second clause, de'ena poisa de'achar, where you're not going to be invalidating others, meaning, and this is a new interpretation in the halacha of a woman becoming forbidden when her husband goes overseas, which we had said in the beginning of the parak. In this interpretation of Rabbi Yossi, which Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka says, the Gemara introduces a new way of looking at that issur. And that is, as Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka is explaining now, that this man will not be prohibiting his sister-in-law to her husband, his brother-in-law, like every other married woman that gets remarried based on the testimony of one witness. And the reason is because generally, again, this is Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka's interpretation of Rabbi Yossi, is that because generally we say that, wait a second, this woman was married to this man. He went overseas. Then she was married to someone else. And then the husband came back. Must have been, because people don't know the inside story that they had thought that he had died. They're going to say must have been that the original husband had divorced her. And then this man had married her. Now, if the original husband now then would take her back, meaning if we wouldn't make her forbidden to her original husband, people are going to say that you could be machzik grishasim in hanisuin, that you could remarry the woman you divorced after she had married someone else in the interim, which is forbidden. And because of that, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka says, Rabbi Yossi holds, that's the halacha of why we make generally a woman forbidden when she gets remarried based on one witness. But here, you don't have that. And the reason is because here it's obviously that the second marriage she had to her brother-in-law, meaning to the man who his wife went overseas, and then he went and married his brother-in-law's wife, everybody knows that wasn't a real marriage. And therefore, they're not going to say, wait a second, the first husband came back, must have been he divorced her and someone else had married and she's going back. No, they're not going to say that, because they know that there was no marriage. How do they know there's no marriage? Maybe he divorced her because that woman was his wife's sister and his wife is still alive. And no matter what the case is, he can never marry her as long as his wife's alive. Obviously, it was a mistake. Now, because of that, in the Pesach de Asmai, that's why Abishai holds he's not going to go ahead and invalidate himself. But if the first one was a resasa v'gisai, if let's say his first wife was just engaged to him, and his brother-in-law who had gone overseas, where you could say that there were conditions in place for just engagement, meaning people are going to assume that the second marriage was a full-fledged marriage, because they're going to say that her husband, meaning this man's brother-in-law, had divorced her, and therefore the remaining man who his wife went overseas married her. Now, if you're going to say the same question we asked regarding marriage, but maybe it's a chesish, his wife is still alive, who he was engaged to, how could we say that he had married, that it was a real marriage that he had made with his brother-in-law's wife? That's not a problem, and that's what Rabbi Yossi is addressing according to this interpretation of Yitzchak Nafka, because we're going to say that there were conditions in place, which she didn't fulfill. She didn't fulfill the conditions. Let's say by 10 days you had to give a certain amount into a certain bank account. She didn't do that. And that's why there would never be a kedushin, which again we say that you'll do tanoim, you'll do conditions in kedushin, but not in nisuin. Now therefore, in such a case, if the brother-in-law was allowed to go take back his wife, people are going to say in such a case that you are allowed to take back your grusha from when she had already married someone else, which was the case over here where this man had married in the interim because they thought they had both died, that woman, and therefore, upaisal de'acherim. So therefore, he will invalidate in that case, because there is a valid rabbinic concern, which again is Rabbi Yitzchak Nafsa's interpretation, Rabbi Yossi, why we always made a woman forbidden to her husband when she gets remarried based on one witness's testimony, because people are going to think that must have been the husband had divorced her and she had married someone else. Now, oh wait, she's going back to her husband. How's she going back? That's Machzik Gushos Meshanissis, so we want to avoid that. So this case, when Bekedushin, you can also have that, because although she's a Chais Ishtei, but since he was only engaged to his wife who had gone overseas, you could say that there was conditions which weren't fulfilled, and therefore he's allowed to marry, so to speak, a Chais Ishtei, because it's not Ishtei, and therefore they will think that it was a valid marriage, which will feed into that concern. So since, as we had said, what he had done was valid in invalidating others. So therefore, in that case, again, which we see is like a primary theme that everyone holds in Rabbi Yossi, that if he's invalidating others, he himself will become valid also. Now, this Rashi points out, according to Tanna Kamma, the reason why if a woman gets remarried based on one witness, as we mentioned in the beginning of the Perek des Halacha, that's forbidden to go back to her husband, it's not because, as we're introducing over here, oh, that maybe people are going to say that a man could remarry the woman that he divorced after she had already married someone else in the interim. Rather, it's because, as we had said in the beginning of the parak, it's a penalty that Rabbanan penalized because she was not daiko mincibus, she wasn't precise in analyzing to make sure that it was really dead, and we gave that leniency, but we said if you don't really do it well, we're going to be machmar on you and you're going to be forbidden to going back to your husband. And therefore, according to Tanna Kamma, no matter who she marries in the interim, even in the case of Arusa, which is being pointed out as different than general, still she's going to be puzzled on her first husband, which is the Gisa, and that's why the Tanna Kamma does not make that differentiation, and she's always going to be forbidden to her original husband, meaning to that brother-in-law. Now, that's the interpretation of two interpretations in Reb Yossi. Either we had the interpretation of Rabami, or we had the interpretation of Yitzchak Nafcha. Now, on that, I'm Rav Yehuda Mishmuel. He says, Alocha k'Reb Yossi, Alocha falls like Reb Yossi. Now, as Rashi explains, the Gemara assumes right now that Reb Shmuel is going on the entire statement of Reb Yossi, but moreover, as the interpretation of Reb Yitzchak Nafcha. And therefore, what it comes out, it seems that Shmuel is saying when he says, Alocha like Reb Yossi, is that this, that a woman becomes forbidden when she gets remarried based on the testimony of one witness that her husband had died, is because people are going to think when the husband does come back, and if she were allowed to go back to her husband, that, wait a second, obviously he had divorced her, because how had she married this other man? Oh, obviously that although he had divorced her and she had married someone else, you could be machzik rishos mishanissis, which is not true, and therefore we have to make it forbidden. And therefore, wherever you could say that maybe it's taka, she was married to someone else, and therefore you're forbidden to your original husband, she will be forbidden, which will apply even when it's achis arasasi, which again is the case that we just described before, because you could say that there was a tenai, there was a condition in the condition of the first woman that he had who went overseas, and therefore we could say that maybe that wasn't fulfilled, and therefore it was a valid marriage to his sister-in-law, who was his brother-in-law's wife, who thus we should make that gezerah of machzik rishos and mishanissis. Now, if that's the case, the Gemara asks Maskel Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef asked, how could Shmuel pass on like Rabbi Yosef? Or Miyomer Shmuel Hachi, does Shmuel say such a thing that he's concerned that people might say that maybe there were conditions which weren't fulfilled? But Ve'itma, we learned, Yavama, a woman that's anticipating Gibam. Ravama Harehi Keishas Ish, she's like a married woman, which Rav Huna will explain exactly what does that mean. But Shmuel Amma Ina Keishas Ish, she's not like a married woman. So what does this mean? Rav Huna had said interpreting regarding Rav, what does it mean that she's considered like an Eishas Ish? It means as follows, Kugan Shekidish Achiv Es Ha'isha. For example, where the brother of, quote, the Yavam, what we're going to be calling him the Yavam, his brother got engaged to a woman. Then the brother, who's just engaged, goes overseas. He hears that his brother died. So he gets up and he marries his wife because of the halacha of Yibum, which again, that's what it's talking about the case of Yavama. That's how he's describing the case. We're talking about Yavama. Now, as Rashi explains, the reason why Rav Huna has to say this is talking about a case where the first brother had been engaged to this woman and not married, because had he been married, actually, both Rav and Shmuel would agree that she's allowed to go back to her original husband. And the reason why is because you cannot say a halacha of the rabbinic concern of Machzik Rishasai, because everybody knows that it must have been a mistake and not a valid marriage, because the whole premise of the mistake is that we assume, oh, it must have been he had divorced and got married to this one, and therefore how could you be machzik rishus mishnisis? Because you can't say that, because if the original brother comes back, there's never a case where a man can marry his brother's wife. Eshes Achim is always forbidden if the brother's still alive. It's only permitted in a slim the definition of yibum, which is when he's dead without any children. Now, however, but when he was only engaged, there is where we have the Ravam, he says, Harehi Keshes Ish. She's like a married woman, meaning like a married woman that gets married based on the testimony of one witness, where she becomes forbidden to her husband. Here also, Vasura Liyavim, quote to the Yavim. And here, Yavim has a different interpretation, meaning she's forbidden to the first brother that she was engaged to, who now would be her Yavim, because now he's the second one, so to speak. In other words, as Rashi explains, because people are going to say, that must have been that the first one had made kiddushin, but he had made conditions which weren't fulfilled. And that's why she was permitted to marry the second brother. Now that she's leaving the second brother, and she's marrying the first one, because they don't get the whole picture that really he was alive, they thought he had been dead, the second brother thought he's doing yibim, so really we should let her go back to her original husband. But no, when there was just engagement, we say that no, because maybe people, because we knew that was just engagement, people assume how they married the brother, if the original brother came back, must have been that conditions weren't fulfilled. She then got married to the second one rightfully. And now if she's going back to the first one, people are going to think, you'll have to marry Eshes Achiv, because if the first one's taking back the second ones, and they think that she was rightfully married to him, and then but he never died without any children, they're going to think you'll have to marry if your brother divorces a wife, you're allowed to marry that wife, which is not true. So therefore, Rav would hold, like a married woman becomes forbidden, here also would be forbidden because of the rabbinic concern, which is, again, as we said in the interpretation of Yitzchak Nafcha, the same concern we have by every married woman who gets remarried based on one witness. Shmuel Amar B'Shmuel says, Inik Eshes Ish, she's not like the same halach as a married woman, B'Sharili, and she is permitted to the first husband. And the reason must be, as Rashi explains, because we don't say that there must have been some conditions, because that's not so common that people say that, oh, he had made conditions and there was certain prenuptials that weren't fulfilled, and therefore the second brother, the people are going to know. If the first brother comes back and she goes back, then people are going to realize it must have been a mistake. They thought he had died, and it's just that the witnesses had misled them. Now, this is the point of Rav Yossi's question. Obviously, you see, according to Shmuel, that people don't entertain such random thoughts of saying that there must have been conditions attached to the Kedushin. And if so, then why by the case of when his Arusa and his brother-in-law go overseas, why does Shmuel say Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi to say that his brother-in-law's wife is forbidden to his brother-in-law, which as we just explained is only because of this far-off concern that people are going to say that must have been the brother-in-law was only engaged, as the case was talking about, ended with their conditions, which weren't fulfilled. And that's how this brother, meaning that the brother with his wife, had conditions in that kedushin, which weren't fulfilled. And therefore, it wasn't achis ishtoi. And that's how he's able to be married to his brother-in-law's wife, who when he comes back, people are going to think he's going to take back machzik rishus mishnisis. Shmuel doesn't have this type of concern. He doesn't consider her like an achis ish. And therefore, he says that it's going to be permitted. We're not going to entertain that the brother had made conditions and therefore the other brother was really the married one. And if you go back to the first one, you're taking Eshes Achiv. He doesn't say that. So how could he say Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi? So the Gemara gives four different answers for this question. Amli Abaya, he says, Umemai dichi amar Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Yossi. Who told you that when Shmuel said Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that as Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha kamar? There were two interpretations in the Gemara of what it is that Rabbi Yossi and our Mishnah is arguing in Tanakhama when he says this enigmatic statement of Kosha Paisa Dechem, Paisa De Asmai, Kosha In Paisa Dechem, In Paisa De Asmai, Dilmad Reb Amikama. Maybe he was going in Reb Ami's interpretation of Rabbi Yossi, that just like Reb Ami said regarding Rabbi Yossi, that it wasn't talking about conditions whatsoever, because he held that even when his wife and brother-in-law go overseas, that even there is going to be invalidating. Obviously, that it's because of nothing to do with conditions. Rather, as we explained before, that Rabbami holds, like we said in the beginning of the parag, that the penalty of a married woman is based solely on the reasoning of knas. So therefore, and Rashi goes into greater detail why it's not a question regarding this halacha of Shmuel itself, but the primary answer the Gemara is saying is that if he's not going to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, you don't see this concept whatsoever about not being about being concerned for conditions, because that's not why a married woman gets forbidden, and therefore Shmuel could hold, like it's brought down in this halacha that Rav Huna is bringing, that we're not concerned for conditions. Or the Gemara says, "V'inam, if you want, you could say actually that Rabbi Yitzchak Nafra." True, that Shmuel, when he said halacha like Rabbi Yisi, is even like Rabbi Yitzchak Nafra's interpretation. But still, the Gemara points out that there are two chidushim that Rabbi Yisi is saying, and therefore the Gemara says, "Mimai da poisel." From where do you know that when Shmuel said the halacha like Rabbi Yisi, that he was going on, and again, this is going on Rabbi Yitzchak Nafra's interpretation and how he defined the two phrases of Rabbi Yisi, which was regarding the two halachas Tanakam was speaking about regarding Arusasa v'Gisai and Ishta v'Gisai. Who said that Shmuel said halachas like Rabbi Yisi in the case of Paisel, meaning the case of when Arusa v'Gisai, that Rabbi Yisi said that not when he's invalidating that woman, so his wife is going to be forbidden to him, and therefore you have the question. But however, as we continue on top of Tzadik Vav and Alv, but V'dilma, maybe actually according to Shmuel, even in the case of when his Arusa and his brother-in-law, not like Rabbi Yisi, he would hold actually that his wife would not be forbidden. And the reason is because Shmuel holds that we're not concerned for the conditions to say that maybe his woman that he was engaged to, there was a condition in it, and therefore it's feasible that that wasn't fulfilled, and that's how he married his brother-in-law's wife, and therefore it could be a case of Machzik Rishas Mishnah. So then he would be Pasal Adeicherim, so therefore he should be Pasal Adeatzmai. Maybe no. Maybe Shmuel never hold of that, because that case doesn't get off the ground, because Shmuel, as we prove from Rav Huna's halacha, actually holds that we're not concerned to speculate that maybe there was this conditions in the Kedushin, and therefore must have been that there was no marriage with this man, and hence the woman actually would be permitted to her husband, what we call the brother-in-law. Now, but this, that Shmuel says halacha is like Rabbi Yisi, would be a Pasal. It would be going on the other case of when it's Ishta V'Gisai, where Shmuel is coming to exclude from the opinion of the Tanakama, where the Tanakama said that even when it's his wife and his brother-in-law that went overseas, where there's still the Tanakama says that his brother-in-law will be forbidden to his wife, meaning to this to his sister-in-law. That's what Shmuel is saying, that no, the halachas are Rabbi Yisi, that the brother-in-law will be permitted to his wife. And the reason is, as we explained before, because there's not going to be any maris ayin in such a case, because Shmuel is coming to say in Rabbi Yisi, in this area of halacha, that he says that what's the reason why we made a woman forbidden to her husband when she marries based on one witness testimony is because of the concern that people are going to say, oh, machzik rishas mishnah nisus, which doesn't apply over here, because he couldn't have married that man's wife, who was his sister-in-law, because he was married to his wife, and no one does conditions in marriage. But what the Gemara is answering over here is that, but he didn't agree to the other chiddush of Rabbi Yisi, of the case of Arusa, to be concerned that maybe there was a ketnayin kedusha. That halacha he wasn't talking about. He was only going in the halacha of Eino Paisel, that is, that halacha is like Rabbi Yisi. In other words, well, how do I define what we said in the beginning of the parak of the psul of a woman remarrying based on one witness is like Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha saying in Rabbi Yisi, not like Rabbi Ami, not based on a knas. It's based on because we're going to think that she was divorced and married someone else and he went back. That is what I'm saying, halacha is like Rabbi Yisi. But regarding the other halacha of Paisel, meaning to say that when there was Narusa V'Gisai, that since he's pasling his brother-in-law, he's pasling himself, that no, that Shmuel never agreed to, because as he says from the halachas Rav Huna points out, he's not cheshish for Tanai and Kedushin. And therefore, if he was engaged to his wife, he could never have married that man's wife, who is his sister-in-law. And therefore, we know that it wasn't the case of Machzik Rishas and Mishnah, and therefore she's actually permitted to her husband. Even the Gemara says a third resolution for this contradiction. Who said Rav Huna's interpretation of Rav Shmuel was correct by the case of Yavama when they argue if she's like Eshes Esh or not, to say that, oh, the way he interpreted sounds like Shmuel is not concerned for Tanayin Kedushin, but yet he says Allah is like Rabbi Yisi, that he is concerned. Maybe Rav Huna's interpretation is incorrect. Would Rav Huna come off? Actually, Machlekes Rav Shmuel is a whole different Machlekes, because they were very terse, enigmatic words. They said, Yavama, Rav says like Eshes Esh, Shmuel says not like Eshes Esh. So Rav Huna gave an interpretation. Based on his interpretation, that's a contradiction. But then it's like Rav Amnuna said, Shemeres Yavam Shazinsa, a woman anticipating Yibum that's Mizana, Asul Yavam is forbidden to her Yavam. De Rav would hold like Rav Amnuna, that says that when he says that Yavama is like a married woman, meaning just like a married woman becomes invalid to her man that she's attached to through Znos, so too Ushamer's Yavam, when she's Mizana, becomes forbidden to the man that she's attached to the Yavam. And that's what Shmuel means when he says it's not like a married woman and therefore she does not become possible to her Yavam based on Znos. But it has nothing to do with regarding that Rav Huna's interpretation of not about not being concerned for having Ketanah Kedushin. Maybe Shmuel is concerned for Ketanah Kedushin. Like he says, Halacha is like a B'yasi, as Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha says. But the Halacha that Rav Huna was quoting was a totally different Halacha of the Halacha of Rav Nuna. Or fourth interpretation, Me'inami, again, that actually the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel has nothing to do with Rav Huna's Halacha. B'Kedushin Teis and B'Yavama Kemifakid. What they're arguing about is, do we say that Kedushin by someone else will have a halachic validity even though she's attached to the Yavam? The Rav Amar Yikeshesh is. Rav says no, that a woman that's Shemeris Yavam is like a married woman. You can't get engaged to a woman that's married. Ushmolam in the case is that she's not like a married woman. But Tavs B'Kedushin, that although there's a prohibition, but that Kedushin by a person from Shuk would be Typhus in the Yavama. That's what they meant. What Asher says or not Asher has nothing to do with Rav Huna, and therefore there's no contradiction. So the Gemara asks, but we already had this machlik as Rav Shmuel already, as we mentioned, of Tzadik Beis and Abeis, where Shmuel said, since we don't know that she needs to have a get, Shmuel held that she's not necessarily like a married woman. And therefore, you would need, to condition would be typhus to require a get. So we already said that machlik is once before. Why would we have to have it again by saying Yavama if she's like Asher or not? So the Gemara says, Chad Machal Dechaver Teiret Ma'i Right. It was only said once, and that other statement was inferred from the first statement, and therefore it's not another additional statement. But be that as it may, the Gemara has four interpretations to resolve that Shmuel could hold like Reb Yasi, and at the same time hold that Yavama is not like an Eshesh.